Sunshine 106.8, Dublin's easy place to relax on the weekend. This is Saturday Live and it's time for this week's Media Wise in association with Cumasún na mBan, helping you question and manage your personal media environment, with special guests each week taking all aspects of media literacy, online safety, fact-checking and more. We're joined again by author and journalist Aoife Barry, who's here to chat with us about the World Wide Web and the information superhighway, which we've all become so used to. But has it improved our lives, though? Haven't the search engines, the AI, all of this stuff?
Well, I think that there are huge benefits to it. I don't think we can imagine living in the world, you know, without all of this information that we have at our fingertips from the internet, even from social media, from, you know, the online world in general. We're hugely informed. We can find out anything that we want to at any time. You know, we're seeing things like the conflict in Gaza now is enabling people on the ground to report as journalists and citizen journalists about something when journalists aren't allowed in there. So we're getting a huge amount of information now in conflict zones that we wouldn't have gotten in previous years. So I think there's so many positive things for the world in terms of having the internet access and social media. But at the same time, because it's all around human behavior, if you're looking at social media in particular, it's very hard to kind of preempt, obviously, how people are going to behave online. So alongside all of the positive impacts of it, we are dealing with the negative impacts of so many people being online, the huge power that the tech companies have, the difficulties in trying to regulate and legislate against human behavior. And I think people as well are finding that they're maybe getting overwhelmed with the information.
Yeah.
And also that the internet's kind of getting a bit worse. Like, it's not any easier to use. There's loads of pop-ups. You've got to, you know, get rid of your cookie pop-ups.
That's so annoying,
like,
isn't it?
Funny thing is that the cookie, legal situation is a really good thing for us, in that we don't want to have, you know, we want to have a say over cookies. But the actual implication of having to click those things every time you go on, and the way that you're kind of hoodwinked a bit by some websites, means that it becomes an annoying thing. So even change in a positive way can actually have a negative impact.
The other thing I find is that all the ads you see, I mean, do people actually see the ads that are popping up in the middle of paragraphs of text they're trying to get to read?
Yeah, you really wonder, like, about the impact of those ads. You know, I've been on sites where I would have a pop-up for an ad, a video pop-up, a cookies pop-up, all of that obscuring the screen. And I'm not really paying attention to those brands.
You just want to get rid of them.
Thinking, yeah, I'm like, this is annoying. I might not even buy your product the next time.
What are the warning signs that, you know, leading a digital lifestyle and the amount of consumption we have is not a healthy way to live?
Yeah, it's a good question, because, you know, I myself, as someone who writes about this, I totally grapple with my online usage. You know, I think when you look at your phone and it sends you that message saying you were using your phone for 5 hours a day every day last week, you might think to yourself, oh my God, like, what am I actually doing? And I read a really great book by a woman called Catherine Price. It's called How to Break Up with Your Phone. Now, she wrote it about smartphones, but I think you could apply it to anything, any apps or anything like that you don't want to use. Or you want to maybe cut down on your use on. And she really starts with the idea of being aware of how much you are maybe spending time online, or what sites you're visiting, or what apps you're using. And when you get a sense of how long you're spending the time on that, looking at the impact of that on you. You know, I think people can sometimes be dragged into certain corners of the internet that are full of misinformation. They can get really kind of, you know, emotionally, you know, connected to things and feel really bad about things, feel like the world is this way or the other way. And sometimes that's just because we really get hooked in by people who are bad actors and want to get us hooked in. So I think having some awareness of how much time you spend in spaces and what real life impact that's having on you is a really good start. You know, if you feel like, okay, every time I look at this thing, I don't feel good, what is going on? And is there somewhere else I can get information that I feel might make me feel a little bit better, or maybe I need to seek information elsewhere? I think that's good. Like, I think people need to, in the kind of game of media literacy, need to try and get information as much as they can from so many sources that aren't just online. And I also think on a practical basis, you can use technology to help you. So for myself, like, there's a really good app that I use called ClearSpace, and it lets you actually decide how long you want to visit an app for every day and how many times you want to visit it. And I think using technology like that to kind of fight back against technology's hold over your life can be really good, because I don't think it's realistic for most people to completely cut themselves off from their phone or from using any social media or using their phone to look at the internet at all. I think you have to try and figure your way around it. And also, I think if people cannot feel too guilty about it, in the sense that there's people like Tristan Harris, who used to work for Google, who describes a lot of these apps as like slot machines. You know, they're built for us to continually use them. So it's not about you using your willpower. And Catherine Price would say that too. You know, it's about you trying to find other ways and tools for you to get a hold of your use of your phone in whatever respect you want to. And, I, you know, again, like I grapple with this a lot. I find it very difficult to not spend a lot of time online. And yeah. I know that it's a problem for a lot of people, but I do think that awareness, understanding that we can try and take our own level of control, and that these companies want us to be spending time on their sites, and maybe using that to get us to say, hang on, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to rebel against what you want me to do. That can also be a good motivating.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of negative talk about, you know, social media and the time we spend on our devices. I'm of the opinion, though, that, you know, I tend to take a positive opinion on this, in that we do have access to all this information. Mm-hmm. We're probably armed with some of the most powerful tools in our hands than we've ever had before. And these can be a positive thing when they're used correctly, can't they?
Absolutely. You know, I think that the access to the world, that global sense of the internet being a space where anybody from anywhere can connect with anyone from anywhere else, is really great. You know, it means that you don't feel so siloed off in your world, and it means you can connect with people. If you're a member of a minority group, you know, if you're a young person trying to connect with people like you, if you feel a little different to your peers, you'll find people like you on the internet. And I think that's been a really important part of the internet from day one. You know, it's always been a place for subcultures and for people finding other people. I think it's a place now where we find out a lot more about what's happening with, you know, geopolitics and with conflict zones around the world, because people now are able to tell us from within those places in a way that they weren't before. So, you know, the news isn't always the place where people go to get their news. They can also go to social media. The other side of that, obviously, is we can't trust everything we see online, and we do have to have, you know, a sense of awareness around the fact that not everything on there is going to be true. But I think overall, if you look at the impact, there are huge benefits to the world becoming a bigger and more connected place because of the internet. But unfortunately, the way humans are and the way the world has always been, the flip side to that will be when things are bad, they can be really bad. Yeah. So I think we can't just, you know, swim around in the online world without having a sense of, well, who's kind of, you know, whose pocket am I giving my money and my attention to? Is there a better way for me to have a relationship with the internet? And actually, what in my real life can I give attention to as well that will actually nourish me in my real everyday life, not just my online life, but how can I connect with people in the world around me in a physical sense, in an emotional sense, and, you know, actually realize that the world isn't just about the internet. It's also about me and real life and the plants and the trees and walking in the street.
I mean, I often wonder what life would be like if we had to, let's say, transport back to the 70s or 80s, where none of these tools were available, thinking that we might be better off without all of this stuff, and then find we really miss it very, very quickly. Thank you so much for your insight and your advice, Aoife, for MediaWise this week.
Such an interesting topic.
Yeah, it really is.
I could talk about it all day too. Thanks a million.
MediaWise back next weekend at around this time on Saturday Live on Sunshine 106.8.